Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
Stand unapologetically in your nature. Really trust yourself and trust that the way you want to do the work, trust that that is your way and that is your unique part.
What does it really take to keep going? Not because the data tell you to, but because something deeper tells you it's right. Today's guest, Badwine Birch, brings a fascinating lens to that question, and this conversation couldn't come at a better time. In this milestone 1,000th episode, Bao and I reflect on my journey of 12 years and 1,000 conversations, and what that kind of sustained commitment actually reveals about how independent professionals make their best decisions. We explore why the analytical tools we're trained to rely on often fail us precisely when the stakes are highest, and what to reach for instead. Bao shares a powerful framework for understanding why some problems simply can't be solved through analysis alone, why leaving corporate can feel like both a terrifying leap and a profound relief, and why the people around you matter more than any spreadsheet when you're navigating uncertainty. If you've ever pushed forward on something you couldn't quite justify on paper, or wondered what really separates the independents who thrive from those who stall, my conversation with Bao will give you both the language and the permission you didn't know you needed. Now let's welcome Badwine Birch. Today we're celebrating a milestone for Smashing the Plateau. Our first episode was released on July 28, 2014. One or two episodes have gone live every week over the last 12 years. With 150 episodes of our shorter run podcast going solo and 850 episodes with this episode of our flagship podcast, Smashing the Plateau, this marks our 1,000th episode in total. And to mark this special occasion, I'm honored to be joined by my friend and colleague, Badwine Birch. Bao is a leadership consultant who helps his clients discover how to bring out the best in themselves and others. He designs and delivers customized leadership development workshops for executive teams around the globe. Bao also has a thriving executive and life coaching practice. And with his wife, Reva Greenberg, he supports people who live with diabetes. And Bao lives in Brooklyn, New York. Bao, in preparation for today's episode, you had asked me about the history of Smashing the Plateau and to think a little bit about it, and also the rationale to produce it so consistently over the last 12 years. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not sure how clear or sound our logic was for starting the podcast or even for continuing to produce episodes every week, but I think you may have a name for that.
Yeah, I'm not so sure if I have a name, but I think you must have felt that it was, I'm doing the right thing here. I think there's something about you feel in your nature, in your element. It felt coherent. It just, you know, felt good. I wonder if that resonates with you. That you were actually feeling, I'm doing the right thing here. And even if it's difficult, I'll continue.
It definitely felt good. I enjoy meeting new people. I enjoy having meaningful, deep conversations. Yeah. It was an opportunity to have conversations with people that I might not have met without the podcast or might not have had the opportunity to have these conversations without the podcast. So yes, it definitely felt like it was something worth doing. But the funny thing is, and I was reflecting on this based on some of the questions you had raised with me, everything that I was taught in school and in my professional career told me that it didn't always make sense to go forward with a podcast. Especially my corporate experience taught me that you need to look for reason and you need to do analysis before you make any decisions. And I can't really point to such solid analysis that said, oh yeah, this podcast is definitely leading in such and such direction. Keep doing it. But you're right. There was something about it that made me feel like it was the right thing to continue.
Yeah, and I think this is, you know, what there's actually a famous Nobel Prize winner, Daniel Kahneman, and he talks about fast thinking, slow thinking, system one, system two, as he calls it. You could also say, you know, your knowing that you just needed to do this was really non-conceptual. It was not based on reasoning. And when you know something before thought, it comes from a place deep within, right? And that's why we say, you know, it's you get this sensation, and that's what we call kind of intuition. And I think that that's the beauty, of course, if you work for yourself, is that you can actually go in the direction, you can go with your intuition and actually explore if it's really true that this is the right thing. And it must have been the right thing. 1,000 episodes. I mean, I want to congratulate you on this momentous occasion of 1,000 podcasts, you know, maybe close to 1,000 people, with some people maybe being on multiple occasions. As you know, I'm a practitioner of Qigong, which are kind of Chinese health exercises. And in that tradition, there is something called 1,000-pound sinking, which means over time, when you do certain exercises, it deeply roots you into the knowledge, the expertise of what you're doing and who you are. And you must be deeply rooted in this subject matter of solopreneurship, smashing the plateau. So it's not something you do. It's also maybe something you are.
It definitely is something that I am. First of all, I am someone who started my career in corporate. And then I left and became independent. So it certainly reflects my journey. And yes, all of these conversations added greatly to my own personal depth of knowledge about how to make solopreneurship work for you. And I'm, you know, as you were describing the feeling you have when you're doing something that it feels right, and there's a sensation, a positive sensation about doing it. I'm also reflecting on all the conversations that I've had with people who have made this journey, this career journey, from, you know, starting out working for others and then becoming independent. And, you know, so many of our guests on Smashing the Plateau have talked about the sense of relief when they have gone independent. And, you know, it's a scary transition to make. Some people make the transition and they don't have any business lined up when they start. You know, it was kind of frightening, and don't have that much of a safety net financially. And then there are others that have built up something kind of in parallel while they were earning employment income, so that they've already established kind of a runway. And once they leave a job, it just gives them more time to devote to the business that already exists. That seems to me like it's the easier transition to make. But yet, with all these conversations I've heard from people, this kind of sense of relief that they're in charge of making the most important decisions for their professional work and for their career, as scary as it might be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also that when you are in a corporate environment, you have to comply with certain rules, and you need to do certain things in a certain way. And if that's not necessarily your way, you will still do it because you've committed to the company. But when you are not fully in your nature, it can also create stress. So that sense of relief is like, oh, you know, I can finally make my own decisions, as you say. I, you know, going back to when I started for myself together with Riva, with our LLC, our company, it was just wonderful to be able to decide, yeah, I'm going to work with this client, but I'm not going to work with that client. And we were the decision makers. And that gives you a sense of relief.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing, you know, about when you approach it from the perspective of running your own business, where you're making decisions about who you work with and who you don't, you're approaching the relationship with clients in a peer-to-peer relationship. Whereas when you're an employee, the employer, there's a power differential, and the employer has much greater power and authority than the employee. And you always feel that.
Yes. And we should not forget that we are, you know, biological beings. So we come with a nervous system. And when there is hierarchy and your job may depend on it, which means your income depends on it, it predisposes us to fear and anxiety. And that's not a mistake. It just means you're a biological organism because that's how we survived. But if somebody has more power, yes, then it can also start up fear, and that power differential can be express itself through also stress, tired, exhaustion, and constantly walking on eggs. Like, am I still, you know, doing the right thing here? And will my boss give me my raise that I need, etc.?
Yeah, so I think you talk about this as, if I'm not mistaken, non-conceptual knowing. When you're moving forward in a direction that feels like it's the right thing to do?
Yeah. So I make this distinction in conceptual knowing, which is through analysis, which is what we tend to do, of course, all the time. But there's also something that you know before thought, you know before analysis kicks in. And we all have experience with that. For example, when you eat a meal, at some point, you know you're full. It's not through analysis that you say, oh, can I still eat those three pieces of broccoli and those French fries? Shall I weigh them and see if I can deal with it? No, there's just a complete knowing. And sometimes you just know, yeah, this is what I have been meant to do, or this is what I would like to do, and it resonates with me. It can come across as a feeling of coherence. It agrees with you. And I wonder how that also has been for you. When the chips go down, you do not necessarily give up, because it's not about a performance that is no longer really functioning because maybe the economy is down, but you still feel, I meant to do this. Now, how was it for you? Because, I mean, so many podcasts started up since 2014, since you started. You might have easily seen or analyzed, how will my podcast be discovered? You know, is it still worth it? I mean, these are valid questions, but those are about conceptual knowing through analysis. How was that for you?
You know, it's an interesting question. Yeah, there are definitely way more podcasts now than 12 years ago. There's also just an exponentially greater amount of content in multiple media.
Yeah.
Than in 2014. When we started the podcast, we were lucky if we could get a good audio signal for the guest and for me in order to actually have a decent recording and be able to distribute it.
Yeah.
So there are technical challenges 12 years ago were huge. And now there are so many ways that you can create great content that, there's a lot of competition. And another thing that I had thought about along the way is whether the podcast should remain independent like it is now, or should we be part of some greater consortium? There are so many of these different kinds of media channels that include multiple kinds of shows.
Yeah.
You know, there are pros and cons to different ways to progress, but there's no way to know what's right and what's wrong. I'm not sure there is a right and wrong.
Yes, because I think it's a very, who knows, it's a very complex problem, right? But I'm curious really about, did the thought that I should maybe stop because there's far too much competition, and how did you overcome that? Did you ever consider stopping?
Well, I've thought about it. People ask me about podcasting or content creation in general, what's most important. And from the very beginning, I kind of noticed this, and I've always said this, and I still say it, which is consistency, frequency, and quality, and in that order. Humans are creatures of habit, and the consistency triggers a response in the consumer of the media. So, you know, in the old days, when newspapers were published in print, there was a schedule. You expected the morning newspaper to be at the newsstand when you woke up. And if it wasn't there, it would raise all kinds of questions. So anybody who was publishing anything would come up with a schedule. Now, the schedule is arbitrary. You can decide what your publication schedule is going to be. But there's something about sticking with that consistency that matters. And so as someone who's very process oriented, early on, first of all, we created a content calendar and we had a schedule. Mm-hmm. And there was a small team working on this. So I needed to decide with the team members what the schedule was going to be. And then once we started it and came up with a repeatable process, we just stuck with it. And so I'm also someone who, once I decide that I'm going to do something a certain way with a certain amount of consistency, a certain frequency, I tend to just stick with it. It takes a lot of resistance for me to say, oh, well, this is probably not worth it anymore. So maybe that's part of my own habit. So I have stuck with it, even though there have been times when I've wondered whether it makes sense.
But surely you must have also liked it, because, you know, would you continue to stick with something that you don't like doing, or would you change your habit?
You're right. If I didn't like doing it, I would stop. There are other things that I've done that require consistency that I haven't continued because right. I just didn't like them as much.
So what do you like about, you know, interviewing people and recording and then actually, you know, creating a ripple effect for the world, for that person that you interviewed, you know, that could give them potential business? What do you like about that specifically?
Well, as I said, I like meeting new people. I really like one-on-one conversations.
Yeah.
I like asking questions and I like learning.
Yeah, yeah.
So it all kind of fits together. The podcast format is perfect for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hence 1,000 times. Well, fantastic.
Yeah, hence 1,000 times.
Yeah. Amazing.
But, I was also thinking about the theme that we've landed on with Smashing the Plateau about this, you know, the corporate refugee journey, mm-hmm. and how complicated it is and how you make decisions, whether they're based on analysis or based on some other factors. And I think for most, if not all guests that I've interviewed, there's been a mixture and there's been their journey has either not been kind of planned or expected or not been based on heavy analysis. I'm thinking about a guest that we had not long ago, Ann Venino, who spent 21 years in environmental health and safety. She ran New York City's chemical emergency response team. So no small job. And that's a pretty analytical and data-driven career. And then what ended up happening to Ann, the most important decisions of her life, leaving corporate after hitting the glass ceiling, making the leap to coaching, and then navigating the loss of her husband and a wildfire evacuation during the sale of her home, none of those could be figured out analytically. And so she had to draw on something much deeper. And what she told us was really interesting. It was getting comfortable with change, trusting that inner knowing, even when everything around her was uncertain, that was the key to living a fulfilling life.
Yeah. Well, just the quote that you just shared, that something from very deep within, right? It's beautiful. Actually, science will back that up, because science will tell you that 80% of the messages that go to the brain, where we kind of associate, we do the reasoning, the analysis, the conceptual knowing, if you like, that 80% comes from the lower part of the body. And so they actually say the brain listens to the heart. And I think that what she was expressing is that, not that she was not doing the thinking, but you listen to something deep from within and then you reason, okay, well, how can I express this in a way that, you know, is going to help me? But you follow your initial gut feel, if you want to put it that way. And I think that's, again, it's your nature coming from deep within that is, as it were, speaking.
And Bao, how is this tied to something that I know you teach a lot about, which is the Kinefin framework? You've taught in our community about this framework and how making decisions, just using data and analysis to make decisions generally is not the best process.
Yeah, well, the Kinefin framework, which is Kinefin is a Welsh word. It means a place of your multiple belongings. But it's basically a very simple framework. It's looks at how the world can present itself to us. And if the world is clear, if your phone rings, then you know how to answer it. But it could also be complicated, so you may need some analysis. But when it's clear and complicated, that's a very good connection between cause and effect. And so you can use the classic way of conceptual knowing analysis. But there are three other domains. One, the world can be very confusing, which means you are confused, or the world can be very complex, which means you cannot really see through analysis or find out through analysis how, if you change your marketing plan, how that might actually work out, because there are just far too many variables at play. Classic example that most people know, if you have children, you cannot guarantee with whatever you do for them that they are going to be successful in life. It's just, you know, a complex problem, a complex challenge. It's very different. And then, of course, finally, there is like what Anne experienced when there is suddenly a fire. You have the world of chaos, or like we all experienced with the pandemic. I mean, what does this mean? You have to, you know, lock down a country. It's temporary chaos. So to realize that there are those five different ways that the world can express itself, present itself to you, then you really begin to see that we have been trained through school, through courses that we did, to always analyze our way to a solution of a problem. But that only really works when the world is kind of stable, relatively ordered, and if the pace of change is very slow. When actually the world is changing very fast and many things are happening at the same time and it can be confusing and complex, then analysis will actually lead to analysis paralysis. I've seen that with many of my clients, that, you know, you delay because you want to make sure about outcome, that you're doing the right thing. But the essence of a complex problem is that you cannot guarantee outcome. So you actually have to discover what the right thing is to do. So you have to take a step forward. And this is, of course, where that fast way of knowing, when you have an impression, when you're a subject matter expert, you feel the patterns manifesting and you say, okay, I feel we need to go into this direction. And I think that that's where it doesn't mean you don't do analysis, but you may reverse the order and say, first of all, what does my gut feel say here? What do others say about the current situation? And then you begin to look at the patterns, and then you say, okay, if we do this step, you know, what could be the end? What could we discover? So it's a different way of working, but it's not a way that is promoted at school. We don't cultivate deep intuition or listening to deep within. We don't, in companies, we have to always create a reasoning for something. And so you can miss out in companies. And there's a cost associated with that, right?
Bao, particularly for independent professionals, where does community come in to decision-making, particularly in these cases where you're dealing with confusing and complex issues, and you are going to be relying on how you feel about patterns to take your next step? Yeah.
So I think that the beauty of a community is that you have multiple people there who each look differently at how the world manifests. And so somebody may be trained as a business economist and somebody else as a writer. And what you need, if the problem is complex, in which, in other words, nobody really knows what the right thing to do is, because there is no right thing, you just need to discover what works, that multiple perspectives will actually be very, very helpful. So if you're part of a community and you're running your own business, but you still have access to a part of a community, people who know you, whom you trust, that they trust you, and you can brainstorm together that same issue, even if they have no expertise, because nobody knows what the outcome is. So in a way, it's good to have different expertise. Then you get a picture. And then you begin to see more of the reality than just your own filters, because you've been trained in a particular way. And you need, with a complex issue, you need a wide view of what might be possible in the here and now to do as a next step. And so then a community is, I would say, indispensable for the sense-making, right? Because Kenevan is a sense-making framework. You need to make sense together and then figure out what could be a next step.
Yeah, I love the way you have described all these elements and how they fit together, and particularly fit together with getting different perspectives from members of a community to help you make complex decisions. I'll be honest, when we started the Smashing the Plateau community, I couldn't have articulated it in those terms. And until you and I got to know each other, and I've learned from you about these different frameworks for decision-making, I wasn't quite aware of how this was all working. I just saw that it was working. But I knew that the people that we were bringing together were smart, experienced, and generous, which really helps the process. So I knew something was valuable was happening in our sessions. But what you've described gives me really good language for what we've witnessed.
Well, yeah, thank you for that. But I think this is exactly community at work, right? And because other people with different training background can help you articulate and also see things more differently. And that's the richness, I think, what a community brings to us. And you lose that when you leave the corporate environment. You have colleagues, you have other teams you interact with. You can, you know, you have water cooler conversations with each other, which are very important because that's where also this kind of sense making takes place. You leave that corporate environment, all of a sudden you're on your own. And what we should never forget, David, is when you grow up with your parents and you go to school, the first thing that is drummed into you is that you should always doubt yourself. You're not good enough yet. You know, you could have done better on this test. You know, look at your friend. So, and continuously we hear those messages like maybe this self-help book would help you or this webinar should help you. So you're continuously trained to doubt yourself. And I think there's nothing wrong with doubting yourself. I mean, that's part of being partly confused. That's a human thing. The nice thing about the Kenevan framework is that it legitimizes that you can be confused. But when you're confused together with others, the fog can gradually lift and you'll get more clarity.
Yeah, yeah. And it definitely, I've seen the self-doubt get reduced over and over again with interaction with other members of the community. And honestly, you know, trying to pull this all together, I think this is part of what all these 1,000 episodes have really been about, even when I haven't had words for it. So every guest we've had, every story that we've shared is an invitation to our listeners to trust both kinds of knowing, the analytical and the intuitive, and to find others that you can think with around these complex issues. Yeah. So one more question I want to ask you before we close. If you look back at your own journey, your transition from corporate to independent and the work we've done, the work you've done with leaders around the world, your work with Kenevan, what do you know now, conceptually or non-conceptually, that you wish someone had told you when you first went solo?
Yeah, it's a great, great question. So you know, when we started, it was also, you're always worried about cash flow and what if I get ill and I can't do any leadership workshops. But I think what I know now that I didn't know at the time when I went solo myself is that it's that stand unapologetically in your nature. Really trust yourself and trust that the way you want to do the work, trust that that is your way and that is your unique part. And in a way, you could say with Frank Sinatra, do it your way. I was always trying at the beginning to look at that facilitator. Maybe she or he is so much better than I am. I can learn from them. And yes, there's always, of course, something to learn. But to really be in my nature, like I feel now, and also then to deal with change that comes at you, and to feel from the inside, this is good. Like a big change for me was that when the leadership development workshops started to reduce in frequency, but my coaching practice, you know, exploded. And I thought maybe this is a whole new pathway, but it felt good. And I went with it. And I wish I had. That a number of people would have said, you know, don't worry so much. Stand in your nature. Trust that.
Yeah, yeah. Well said. So, Bao, thank you. Thank you for sharing that story. And thank you not just for today, but for being part of this community and bringing your thinking and your humanity to everything that you do. And I want to thank our listeners. Thank you for 1,000 episodes. Whether you found us through going solo or smashing the plateau, whether you've been with us from the beginning or you just joined us, you are part of what this has always been about. Not just an audience, but a community of people who are figuring this out together. So if today's conversation sparked something in you, a question, a recognition, a felt sense that something is possible, I'd invite you to bring that into a community. Ours, or one that is right for you, because as Bao has helped us understand today, complexity is not something you navigate alone. Until next time, keep smashing the plateau.
Thank you for having me, David.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the Smash framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.